Well, hello everyone, and welcome to my now weekly update on the Iran war, which I know a lot of people wait for. And quite a lot has happened. In fact, I've got a detailed note for what has gone on. So in this video, I'm going to be covering Trump's mental decline and the various kind of crazy things he's done in the past week, the military purge of Pete Hegseth and the whole business of him firing generals and things like that, as well as his general craziness. I've got the boldness of Emmanuel Macron and what I think is quite a significant story that has been underplayed, which is the business of France getting a ship through the Strait of Hormuz, which suggests some degree of cooperation between the French and the Iranians, especially given the belligerence of Macron towards Trump. He's standing up to Trump. He's being very bold. So we're going to talk about that. And finally, we're going to talk about, and the bulk of today's video really is going to be about the rescue of this US weapons expert or pilot, the second pilot of this F-15 Strike Eagle that was shot down in the Zagros Mountains, and the almighty cavalcade of noise and nonsense that has been around that story. I'll talk all about that as well. It's spring, the sun is out. That means that around here at the lodge, there's going to be guys with leaf blowers and there's guys cutting the grass. They're always doing something here. So there's a little bit of noise. Bear with me. That's what's going on. Before we get going, pick up a course at the Academic Agency. Mega bundle. It's been selling like hotcakes over the Easter period. Foundations of Shakespeare, Foundations of Geometry was the latest course released. Many other great courses available. Buy it now. But let us get on to the business of the Iran war and what's been going on. The top line really is that despite all of the headlines, despite all of the noise, despite everything, we're still, as far as I can see, stuck in the same holding pattern whereby, you know, come the weekend, Trump is screaming blue murder. Come Monday, he's claiming that there's going to be some sort of deal, which is then denied by the Iranians. And we're just getting in this kind of constant loop of, you know, the situation not really moving forward. The bottom line is that Iran have control over the Strait of Hormuz. Trump can't seem to handle this and can't seem to get any sort of resolution on it. He's been all over the place. There's all this bluster and threats and so on. But the fact of the matter remains is that the Iranians have a choke on the strait. They continue to bomb Israel on a daily and nightly basis, as well as various other targets in the Gulf. And bombing campaigns are ongoing from the US Israeli side in Iran as well. But this is basically the same situation last week. So a lot of the news this week is about various statements of Trump, Macron, and of course, this whole kind of Hollywood narrative of the US pilot being rescued. We're going to hit all of that now. So Trump gave this speech on Wednesday night, which is the kind of last time that he's been seen giving a speech. And he was noticeably kind of slurry in his speech. He was slow. He was reading from a script. Many people described the performance as if he was drug addled in some way. And, you know, the person he reminded me most, to be honest, was Joe Biden during that. And again, he was incoherent and rambly and nonsensical during that whole speech on Wednesday night. On Sunday, on Easter Sunday, he unleashed this now infamous tweet where he says, "Tuesday will be power plant day and bridge day, all wrapped up in one in Iran. There will be nothing like it. Open the effing strait, you crazy bastards, or you'll be living in hell. Just watch. Praise be to Allah, President Donald J. Trump." This mental tweet by Trump, in which he appears to have converted to Islam, as well as, you know, using expletives and You know, it doesn't really strike you. It's not the calm, calculated leadership that Americans would want in a wartime scenario, I don't think. And it has led many, many people, MAGA included, to ask what on earth has gone wrong with Trump. Is he now completely a mad king, a la the madness of King George or the madness of King Ludwig or various other figures that we've Caligula, I've seen some people compare him to. There's been a lot of comparisons along these lines because of just how unhinged, how desperate and how crazy Trump sounds. And then, of course, he followed it up with claims that there are negotiations this morning. And, you know, we've come to expect this kind of taco cycle now where, you know, taco is Trump always chickens out. Remember, he'd already given a 5-day deadline. Then he gave a 10-day deadline. The reason he's saying this now is that the 6th of April, which is today, is the expiry of the 10-day deadline. And so that tweet that he gave on Sunday night was actually, if you read past all the bluster, a 48-hour extension on the 10-day extension that he'd already given after his initial 48-hour threat to bomb Iran into the Stone Age or whatever 2 whole weeks ago. This has caused many people to make lots of memes and to mock Donald Trump. It is an embarrassment for America. It is an embarrassment for MAGA. It is an embarrassment for Trump himself, who is, of course, incapable of feeling embarrassment. But yet, round and round we go. You know, lots of people calling for the 25th Amendment. Frankly, I would support it at this point. The guy is just gone, okay? Second cause for concern, if you're American, is Pete Hegseth's politicization of the American military. Now, whether the purging of this chief of staff of the army is related to the ongoing operation, this rescue of the U.S. pilot, if that's really what it was, you know, troops on the ground and all this, is unconfirmed. Probably the best read I've seen on it is that it's literally just Trump and Hegseth trying to turn the U.S. military and the upper echelon of the U.S. military into something that's going to be loyal to them to offset any potential of anybody standing up to them or any coup attempts or anything like that. You know, I saw Larry Johnson said it's like he's trying to make his own personal Praetorian guard, something like this. That strikes me as plausible. One of the generals who was purged was a chaplain who's responsible for, I guess, like the spiritual leadership of the army, if that's a thing. There could also be some theological reason. Pete Hegseth is like a crazy Protestant evangelical type. I've seen murmurings from Catholics against Hegseth, and I've seen some of this noise. Not of interest to me. As far as I'm concerned, Hegseth is just a nutcase who, when all is said and done, will end up in jail. So rapidly moving through to my third broad area here, which is the boldness of Emmanuel Macron and France in general in this whole thing. Now, if you remember, Spain closed Spanish airspace and bases to the US using it for, you know, offensive operations in Iran. France was the first to do that, but then it was followed by Italy under Meloni. That was noticeable because Sanchez is a left winger. Meloni is a right winger who's been friendly to Trump. And it was followed by France. France closed its airspace to America for this operation, and it closed its bases. In fact, I don't think France had, because of de Gaulle, people correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe there are any US bases in France due to the legacy of Gaullism. I could be wrong on that, but they closed their airspace. Then and this was not widely reported. You have to, you know, if you're like me and you, you know, monitor the situation, as people say, if you keep your ear to the ground and, you know, take notes on what's happening, you will have spotted that there was a UN resolution, an attempt to put a UN resolution on Iran on the table, you know, in the Security Council. That resolution on Iran was vetoed by Russia, China, and France. France, of course, who still have a permanent seat on the Security Council of the UN, along with Britain and America, Russia and China. That was the settlement after World War II when they set up the United Nations. Those five nations would have a permanent seat, and France used its position there to veto a motion against Iran. And that goodwill by the French was repaid by Iran by allowing a ship to travel, a French ship to travel through the Strait of Hormuz without even having to pay a fee. So they actually did it for free. This has made a total mockery of Donald Trump. Why? Because in the run-up to Macron doing that, Trump was saying, well, look, if you really want to open the strait, you Europeans have to do it yourselves. Okay? Don't ask us for help, right? You didn't come and help us when we needed it, et cetera, despite the fact they've created all this mess in the first place. And Macron said, look, Trump is not acting like he's dealing with a full deck here. Nothing. He is not credible. You know, he's lied and lied in this war. You know, he's just not serious. That's what Macron said. He actually said he was very bold in his statements. And so France then managed to get a ship through the strait, which then basically signaled towards a new world order, a post Pax Americana, a new world order in which, just as Mark Carney talked about, the middle powers work together to offset bullying from both China and America, i.e. they're going to go it alone. Macron cut a speech, cut a promo, you know, delivered a speech is the phrase I'm looking for, where he echoed Mark Carney's kind of middle powers unite message. And this fact that they are acting unilaterally against the wishes of the American president in order to cut a deal basically with Iran to travel through the strait signals pretty much, you know, the beginning of the end of American hegemony, because its vassals, of which one is France, are going their own way, essentially. Okay, very significant moment in geopolitics, and I think underreported. I think not, because of all the other noise and because of this pilot story that we're going to talk about, this has not been given enough attention. I think Macron's belligerence and the fact that France got a ship through the strait, okay, without any American interference and just purely a bilateral relationship between France and Iran, I think that when people come to report on this, obviously it depends on what happened, would be pointed to as a very significant moment in history. It's also led to quite a lot of chimping out on social media by American patriots, okay? Now, I have to say, and this actually will bring us on to the US pilot story as well, I believe that many, many, many of those attacks on Europeans are coming from bots, okay? There could be the occasional paid-off influencer in there, but most of the accounts who are attacking Brits or French or Europeans in general, I think are bots. I honestly don't think, I haven't seen, because I've got lots of, you know, American contacts over there and I can see what they're saying, you know, because I follow them and they follow me and so on. I can see the conversation that they're happening and I know that they're real people. That conversation is not mirrored by, you know, the frequent attacks that people are getting. And, you know, the people who are being attacked, not just me, but all of my friends and so on, are people who've been on social media for, you know, a decade plus at this point, with a very large following, who basically know the score. They're social media literate. Okay, they're basically like winners in the social media space. So the idea that these sorts of flailing attacks might be effective against people with large followings is wrong-headed and stupid. And all I see them doing is turning those influencers against, you know, people who would have been friendly to MAGA or friendly to America, turning them against them, and taking many of their fans with them, Americans included. So, yeah, stupid operation. Speaking of which, I think a lot of resources, a lot of extra money has been spent to pay for, you know, PR on this saving of the US pilot. The media and also the people who spend money on influencing social media want you to know a number of key things about this supposed rescue of the second pilot in the Zagros Mountains. And what they want you to know is that, you know, no man is left behind. We'll leave no one behind. No expense is too small. And this is the true meaning of American exceptionalism. Therefore, support the troops, join the army. You know, and anybody who does disagrees with this is either like European and their mind can't understand it, or they're traitors to America. Okay, this is just obvious fucking nonsense. Okay, and let's get into why it is. Okay, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give the official narrative. Okay, this is the actual official story that is being painted as this massive win. Okay, and then I'm going to give you what I think actually happened. Okay, so an F-15 Strike Eagle was struck down somewhere in the Zagros Mountains, okay, in southwestern Iran. And the first pilot apparently was rescued on the 3rd of April. We have not been given a name or a rank or any details of this first pilot who was rescued, and we have also not seen his face. Or her face. It could be a woman, of course. So we don't know anything about the first pilot. But then there was a second pilot, a weapons expert, sitting in the back, who ejected at the same time and was not rescued in that initial operation on the 3rd of April. Instead, after, ejecting himself from a crashing F-15, and apparently badly injuring himself and giving himself a sprained ankle, as you might imagine would happen when imagine the speed of the F-15 coming down. He hits the eject button, you know, splat somewhere. Okay, maybe he had a parachute or whatever, but apparently it's being reported he was injured. Then with his sprained ankle, over the course of 48 hours, manages to climb up a 7,000-foot mountain and hide himself in a little niche up in the mountains. Okay, this is the official story. Managing to evade hundreds, if not thousands, of Iranian people, both armed tribesmen and IRGC. So he evaded all of those different people, you know, almost like a kind of action movie, Mission Impossible setup. With an injury, and he manages to make it 20 or 30 miles in real terms up this mountain, where he is then rescued. How he is rescued is also not entirely clear, but it seems like in the official version, and it took me a long time to try to piece all this together from all the media reports and so on, and you know, running it through Grok 20, 30 times to get every single little detail right according to the official story. Stuck up in those mountains, he was then rescued by special ops crew that came on MH6 Little Birds, which are these little rescue helicopters that managed to get up there, somehow grab him, and then bring him back to a forward operating base that was somewhere south of Isfahan, about in this city south of Isfahan, about 14 miles outside of the city, is this temporary forward operating base. Now, at this base, there were two C-130 Combat Kings, which are large cargo planes, effectively. I mean, I'm not like a military guy, but in my understanding, like a C-130 is the equivalent of something like Thunderbird 2. If you remember Thunderbirds, right? The kind of big, bulky thing, which can have other stuff in it. For example, these little helicopters, the MH6 Little Birds, could actually be go inside the Combat King. The C-130 is big enough that you could actually get one of these little helicopters in there. Okay, that's my understanding. Now, I'm not a military guy, right? So I had to just read around and ask a lot of questions and, you know, play this, you know, just using common sense and asking logistical questions for what all of this is going on. But my understanding is the C-130 is like a Thunderbird 2, a big bulky thing. You can put stuff in it. You can put other vehicles in it. And it's used to kind of help set up these temporary forward operating bases. So they try to set one of these up in an area south of Isfahan. And these little MH6 little birds, helicopters, went up to wherever that second pilot was, 7,000 feet up in this mountain, in the Zagros Mountains. They went and found him, got him on the helicopter, and then they went back to that forward operating base. But then... For reasons, this location was discovered by the Iranians. And because of that, the Americans then, and this is the official story, bombed and destroyed their own C-130 Combat Kings and their own MH-6 Little Birds. So those four helicopters and the two Combat Kings were bombed. And the reason they were bombed, the official reason, is because they got stuck in the sand. So in this temporary base that they'd set up for this rescue mission, the Combat Kings got stuck. The Little Birds also were there as well. And the Americans destroyed their own equipment rather than leave them in Iranian hands. And then, and this is a detail that is, I don't see discussed enough, but if you read, I guarantee you this is exactly what it says in the media and all the official reports, three more 130 Combat Kings were sent to rescue all of the crew of these variants. So if you can imagine, there's the second pilot who all of this is for. Then there's the crew of the Combat Kings, the C-130s that were there on the ground, the ones that got stranded in the, you know, in the sand. Then there were the crews of the four little birds. Okay, so if you want a max estimate, that's about 100 people. If you want a minimum estimate, it's still 30 or 40 people. So how are you going to get those 30 or 40 people out? There were also reports of two Black Hawk, UH-60 Black Hawk helicopters, okay, that were hit by small firearms. They were actually hit by Bakhtiari tribesmen, which is personally interesting because those are the people that my dad is actually a part of, those Bakhtiaris. They actually were hitting these Black Hawk helicopters with rifles. Now, there's a bit of a discrepancy in the US and the Iranian stories, but in the US version of the story, those two Black Hawk helicopters escaped. Okay, they were hit, but they escaped. Okay, so they were actually part of the mission. They got away. So how did the Americans get the rescued pilot and the crew of all of these guys? I should mention that there was also an A-10 Warthog, okay, that was downed near the Strait of Hormuz and ejected near Kuwait. It is not clear whether this A-10 Warthog was part of the same operation or was something different, because that happened 460 miles away, okay? I tried to calculate the distance between the rescue area of the pilot, i.e. where in the mountains he went, where was that on the map, versus this forward grounding temporary base thing in southern Isfahan. And the estimates vary. You know, it's anywhere between 30 miles and 200 miles, okay? And we don't actually know exactly. So there's become a meme online that it was 110 miles away. It's not actually clear exactly what the distance is. It's between 30 and 110. The point is that the pilot according to the official story, didn't walk or run that distance, whatever it is, the 30 miles or 110 miles. He was taken by a little bird helicopter, which then landed in this base and was then bombed by the Americans. Question is, if that's the case, how did all these people, anywhere between 30 and 100 people, get from that base, which was then being bombed by the Americans themselves? And the answer is that the Americans sent three more C-130 Combat Kings. That's three more of these big, big, bulky planes to... Now, you've got to imagine this. The site that you've seen all the images of that have been bombed, three more of those big planes came, landed there, got all the crew on board, including the safe pilot. So they landed there, and then they took off from that same site and made it 300 miles back to Kuwait without taking any fire and without any casualties and without being down themselves. that is the official story. Okay? Now, many of you, because you're fucking retarded, believe that story. Okay? But let's just pretend for a second that it's true. Let's pretend that that story, which it stretches credulity, I ask Grok, for example, the actual odds of three 130 planes landing and taking off from that site that you that you've seen the images of as part of a rescue mission, and it basically said like the chances of this happening are basically like marginal to zero. Okay, but that is part of the official story. Or you know, the injured pilot with a sprained ankle hiking literally 20 miles up a massive mountain, 7,000 feet up on really jagged, rugged terrain, while also being searched for by Bakhtiari tribesmen and IRGC. The place was crawling with them. But he, like actual Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible, evaded all of those guys, hid out up there. These little birds came in. Somehow they evaded fire. He got onto the little birds. They went back to that. They went back to that base. Three massive planes came in. They all got onto those planes. Those planes went back, and then the Americans themselves bombed the vehicles that were left stranded. That is the official story, which you believe. I don't believe it, but you believe it. Okay, but let's just pretend that that's true. Which they really, really want you to believe that's true. The official US line is not only do they want you to believe that that's true, but that it's a massive win. That this operation, which cost $380 million for one man, was a massive win for the Americans. That they're saying, oh, well, look at our capabilities here. Look at our capabilities, that we could do a forward operation deep inside Iran like this and still get out. You know, I mean, the F-15 was shot down in the first place. You've spent $380 million for one man. I went and checked, okay, because this is the propaganda line being driven home here, that we're expected to treat this as a massive win and as a kind of Hollywood feel-good morale story. I went and checked if America has ever, in the history of its considerable rescue operations, okay, going all the way back to Korea, okay, so that there's 80 years of data here. Has America ever spent anything like $380 million for one man in a rescue mission? The answer is no. It is completely, and I mean completely, unprecedented. The closest was a Vietnam rescue mission from 1972 that didn't go very well, but it was nothing like this amount of money, even when you adjust it for inflation. I also had a look to see if leave no one behind is a consistent doctrine and whether they always do this sort of stuff. The answer is no. There were countless examples in Vietnam where they didn't do this sort of stuff and they just let people die there. There's a famous one actually in Iran from 1980. It's called Operation Eagle Claw, where 8 Americans died in an attempt to get hostages out of Iran in 1980. The famous Black Hawk Down, the Somalia, you know, they didn't save them there. And there are many other examples. I mean, you guys will know better than me, but you can have a look. You can actually go in and have a look. And it is just not the case that America always does this. And it's being sold as like normal. All this is completely normal. This is not normal to have this much expenditure for one dude. Also, very interesting to me is that neither the first pilot, the one who was saved on April the 3rd, or this dude has been named. In fact, there are almost no details on who these two people are, and we haven't had photos of them either. And given what a huge propaganda drive is behind this, it's kind of strange that we haven't got any faces or names to put to these people. And kind of was curious. I was curious, like, who is this guy that they're spending all this money for in the official narrative? Donald Trump, with his big mouth, let slip that he's a respected journal, a highly respected journal, he said. Sorry, not journal, colonel, right? A highly respected colonel is what Trump said. And I was watching Larry Johnson and Scott Ritter on some show with two other people earlier on, and they said, actually, it's quite unusual to have a full colonel sitting in that back seat as a kind of weapons guy. That would be strange. You know, he's a 06 pay grade. And they said it's a bit weird to have somebody of that rank essentially wasted in that role, suggesting that he may have been there for something else, you know, if indeed this is true. It is not unprecedented. You know, it is possible to have somebody of a colonel rank doing that sort of role, but it seems kind of weirdly inefficient to have a colonel doing that sort of job. Usually it would be a lieutenant or a captain in that job. So that has raised a lot of eyebrows as well. So that is the official version. And, you know, for me, even if I take all of the details of the official version lying down, it's still like a fat, massive L, right? Americans can try to sell it as much as they want as a win, but it's just not. It's just obviously not. So the second thing that I want to look at now is what people are saying this is for, right? Because the story doesn't add up. There are many fantastical elements that stretch credulity. You know, not only the heroics of this colonel, right, you know, with his gammy leg making his way up this 7,000-foot mountain, the logistical details of the 3 C-130s coming in, the story about their bombing their own equipment, you know, all of these other things that aren't quite right. What was actually going on? Well, it hasn't been missed by a lot of people that this site south of Isfahan is not that far away from the Navanst nuclear facility. And Trump, you know, has kept on teasing special ground ops. A lot of people now think, and this is, I would say, the dominant theory online. And what I will say is that theories online have had a habit of them being verified. For example, Donald Trump revealed in yet another one of his rants on social media that the Americans sent arms to Kurds, you know, and basically confirmed the fact that the protesters in Iran back in January were foreign agents, exactly as I told you and exactly as many other people told you. And that the idea that the Iranians killed 30,000 people or 40,000 people was just obvious horseshit. You know, the people they were up against were basically terrorists, basically like armed saboteurs. I told you that, and many other people told you that. And again, yet again, retard, you doubted me. When are you going to learn, retard, not to doubt me, okay? I could keep on having to, you know, why do you watch? I don't understand. Anyway, most people That's not all people. That's just the retards. You know, most people saw through that story. They understood that it was just nonsense that Iran killed 30,000-40,000 people, and also that you know, the people there were armed saboteurs. The point I'm making is that that was one of many, many examples of where the internet called it. The internet collectively called out BS. They called it accurately, and then it was later confirmed by the sources of officialdom. Okay. Sometimes it takes a month, and sometimes it takes a week, sometimes it takes 6 months. But it tends to be the case that the internet gets it right, and the sources of officialdom later then have to admit that the internet was right. That was one example of it. Here's another example of it. The internet collectively has said that this whole narrative of the US pilot being rescued is horseshit. That the real reason that all of this kind of materiel, as Americans call it, and this personnel, right? The reason that they were there was to extract uranium from Navance. And the reason they had to abort is because, yet again, they underestimated the Iranian anti-air capacity. Remember, Trump has been saying over and over and over again the Americans have total air supremacy, that the Iranians do not have any anti-air at all, that the Americans can fly with impunity over Tehran. All of this is nonsense. What has been happening in this war is basically, it's been a missile. Up until now, it's been a missile war, right? The Iranians are hitting Israel and hitting the Gulf with missiles, ballistic missiles, hypersonics, drones, older missiles. That's what they're doing. The truth is that the Americans and the Israelis have also been engaging in their own missile warfare. Okay, that means they are basically from outside the country, whether it's from Kuwait or some other launch space, they are launching their own missiles on Iran. Okay, so the bombings campaigns have not been planes carpet bombing, right? Or it hasn't been aerial superiority in that sense. It has been a missile campaign, and a lot of people who very closely monitor this war and military heads and so on have said, well, basically what's happened now is that the Americans have started to run out of those munitions. Right, those kind of medium, long-range, short-range missiles, they've started to run out. And so they need to actually do something else, which is why we are now seeing planes being involved. And lo and behold, now we've started seeing planes being involved. They're being shot down, okay? I mean, there was another Warthog shot down a while back. There was an F-15 shot down before now, okay, last week or so. And this is exposing just yet another lie put forward by Hegseth and Trump, that of total air superiority, or we can do this shit with impunity. Okay, clearly they can't. Clearly, this F-15 was shot down, and clearly, and this is where I think what has happened, this forward base was spotted by the Iranians, attacked by the Iranians, and destroyed by the Iranians. That's what I actually think happened. And the footage that people have looked at, I said, well, look, if you have a look at this footage, right, this doesn't look like stuff that has been bombed by the Americans themselves. It's not like controlled damage. These planes have been shot down. Also, according to the Iranian narrative, those two Black Hawk helicopters that were shot by the tribesmen in the mountains, they're saying that they crashed, and that they have shown footage of the Black Hawks that have been down. There is actual footage out there that you can study of Black Hawk helicopters that have been shot down, apparently by small arms, by rifles. The Americans claim they got away. The Iranians say that the Black Hawks were shot down, and they've got footage to prove it. So I find this very interesting. Now, a lot of people have pored over the footage of the wreckage and so on, and they said, well, here you can see a skull, or there's absolutely no way anybody survives this, and so on. I don't have the knowledge or expertise to engage in that sort of, you know, studying footage sort of stuff. All I know is that in the history of this conflict so far, one side has consistently lied, consistently exaggerated, and consistently flat out made things up, including making up the notion that there are ongoing negotiations, which has been continually flatly denied by the other side. The other side has consistently said, well, here's what we're going to do, and then done it. Here's what we're going to do, and then they do it. Here's what we're going to do, and then they do it. So if you have a look, there's a credibility gap between Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth on the one side and the Iranian command on the other side. The Iranian command, okay, and you can say what you want about them, have been consistent with what they're doing, what's happening, okay, and so on. Whereas on the American side, they've told a lot of lies. Now they come up with this cockamamie story, okay, this shaggy dog's tail, this tall tale, Hollywood movie script, basically, of this, you know, miraculous rescue mission. And I'm expected to just take that lying down, just believe that. Bullshit. It's just not true. It's obviously a cover for something else. It's obviously a cover for some other failed operation. And that is true both in the instance where it actually happened, that is, the rescue mission was actually a success and it happened, or in the version where the rescue stuff is just made up. I think it's made up, personally, until I see any further proof. From the data I have in front of me right now, from all the details I have in front of me right now, I just think it's flatly made up, okay? Maybe that will change. Maybe they'll release the names and the photos of these people, or maybe they'll start appearing and giving interviews. I wouldn't count on it, though. So, yeah, you put that together with the desperation of Trump, and also, you know, all of these bots and paid influencers and so on, you know, they're really, really eager to claim this as a win. Now, I don't know about you, but when I win something, when you win something and you really feel that you've won, is it bitter? Is it like acrimonious? Is it possible to be like a bad winner where it's like, you know, because I've seen people absolutely seething with fury because people don't think this is a win, whereas they want it to be a win. Now to me, that kind of bitterness and seething doesn't strike me as a kind of authentic reaction if you were genuinely confident of the fact, if you were genuinely confident that this was the massive victory that you think it is, you wouldn't need to seethe. You wouldn't need to rage. It's just not, it's not a seethe or rage sort of situation. I can just be confident in the fact that, you know, I can just be happy at the fact that I've won type thing. They're not behaving like that. They're behaving in a very bitter, strange and seething way. So if you put all of these things together, so and also the vehemence with which the narrative is being pushed, to me it all points towards this being a crock of old shit, okay, to put it frankly. Well, I'm happy to be proved wrong, but you know, the details just don't make any sense at all. One thing I will say is that Larry Johnson was going on about the 300-mile radius of the rescue helicopters, the little birds, and saying, look, you know, that if they're going to fly all the way from Kuwait to that, my understanding is that those little birds can go inside the combat kings, like little helicopters within the Thunderbird 2. That's my understanding. I could be wrong, but that would explain at least that one little detail. Anyway, that will do, I think. I'm very interested to know what people think. I am, as I have been doing, because there are so many bots on the loose, these comments will only be open to people who actually subscribe to this channel. I don't want randos coming in. You're not welcome, rando, okay? You have to earn your stripes to comment on this channel. That's how it's going to be going forward. I don't want retards here. I don't like retards. Okay. Pick up a course at the academic agency, and you too cannot be a retard. Pick up Trivium. The Mega Bundle gets you all of them. Foundations of Shakespeare. Many, many other great courses are available. I'm going to enjoy this nice spring day. Happy Easter, everyone. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.